Washington. Well, he said, confidence right away not doing it again next week. And I was on the way to letter I'm so thank God.
You're never gonna retire.
No.
Never. Don't you do it.
And I say the same thing. Rene, what was his
name? Oh, yes, yes.
That beautiful word.
Because the captain wasn't that
beautiful word.
And he was the one that came off the plane and said, God bless America.
And that helped me. Yes, that helped me. And he said, I said, well, what are you driving at? I said, Mr. Prime Minister. He said, I'd like to come to America, he said, and see the president. I'd like to sit down with him and talk to him.
Why don't you tell him that not now, we can't do it. It would work, and I want to be very frank with him. I don't want him to be embarrassed.
No.
But tell him that the president is have no present plans. By the end of this year, I may be here, but maybe we'll have a chance. Let's just keep it in the back burner.
Yes, we have. He said, yes. I can't tell you what the president's going to do if he comes here. He knows where he's going. Oh, he says, God, he says, I do hope I can meet him.
Yeah.
So keep that
in mind. I got to the president.
The other thing is Frank Birch a good friend?
Excellent man.
Okay, yes.
Wonderful man. Poor fellow, apparently, just he's independent, get oil, a decent guy, and he's a distributor, and just a great friend, a family friend for 30 years.
He's going to talk to me again. He said, you're going to ask the president. He said,
I just say he's a wonderful man.
And he's going to call me at 5 o'clock in Boston today, and I told
him. Well, you know, I remember Frank when he had one little old service station in Whittier. You know, he's one of these self-made men. Just got to admire
him.
Honest.
I'm going to help
fight him. Like hell.
He's in trouble in these oil companies, Mr. President.
Our vicious son.
Seven sisters. You know, my case says.
But you're...
Seven homeless.
But you thank God, have done your own bit.
Oh, well, I gave up $50 million, Mr. President, to say that Standard Oil and Jersey are my partners. Why? They're my partners. I'm not their partner. I think that was sorry of me that was worthwhile.
Let me say one other thing. I want you to know that what I was mentioning last night, I am aware of what you're doing to help out on some of these things that Maury's people and others involved in. I won't say anything further, but it's very seldom you find a friend like that, believe me.
And
frankly, let me say, Maury's clean as he can be.
I know.
Mitchell is.
Yes.
If you could sleep down the line, did some silly things.
Sure.
But it's down the line. Down the line, they're all guilty. You know that. But nobody's on my own.
I don't know.
It's just stupid.
I don't know. I spent 8 months. Did you know that?
8 months?
Yes. Here.
Yeah.
Every day at the office.
Well.
I made 12 trips back and forth.
I'll tell you.
By the time I started in January.
How you been doing?
Well, I did it because, well...
Basically, as you say, we were so shocked. I was so shocked to hear such a stupid thing. Mainly because if you're going to buck somebody, first you shouldn't buck. But second, you're going to do it.
You're going to do it with the National Committee. They don't know a goddamn thing.
I thought it was the most stupid thing. But you know, buck and amateur, that's what it is.
I did something here, but I just want you to read. I think you ought to report it through wise men.
Stout-hearted man.
Yes, he was fantastic.
I know.
Pat, all right.
pages. I want you to take with me on the flight and study with Bobby today.
Very good. It was for you, sir.
That's right.
Thank you.
Right.
You said Terry made a lot of comments last night.
Well, I think you're a great one. Thank you, sir.
And I'm not the only one, sir.
God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Good luck. Take care over there, Tom.
I will.
Are you ready?
Thank you, sir.
Well, any options, Jim?
No.
Saturday. Should say the president's personal commitment to Soviet American rapprochement.
Yeah.
sure just none of them be sure they know that there's a lot happening. And I've got to wheel a lot of things so that they feel it. You know, that they just don't have it in the bag. That's the main thing.
The more we can leave it something that's
impressive. Sure, not because I want to do it, but because I've got to ask them to do some damn hard things. And I don't want them, and I've got very little to give them.
Including cutting off the military.
We're taking this step. We put right. A lot of things that we'll
right. But if you would say here then, you know, this is a good thing to say to the president on this one. I mean, he can't get everything. This one, and as he does, all the major initiatives of the Soviet Union is personally taking an interest in it and will personally be in charge of it. Use that term. They do not like to think that a cabinet officer, because you see, they don't have cabinet officers decide anything, but a cabinet officer can make a decision. They like to think, they don't mind to think, but they want to be sure they like to feel that the president they have to talk to, Brezhnev, thinks he does everything that he'd like to think that I do. Well, I don't. But I let him think we do, right?
Well, and also, he sells a lot of things in the Soviet Union on the basis of his presumed relationship with the president.
So you can say, you know, he's met our president on this, he's tremendously interested in it, he's looked at these numbers. You might even say that when we saw the first numbers, that one of the experts said, it is going to be competitive. The president said, look, let's look down the road. It can be competitive. And we want to be competitive. Now, he sent it back to the drawing boards. Now that you say you went back to the drawing boards and you've looked into it, and you think we can be more positive on it, at least we can explore it further. Sort of the idea, though, that if they can have a feeling that I am intervening in charge to carry out our commitments, let me tell you what we got. Last time we got our deal on the Soviet. We got, frankly, the space thing. All this other stuff on environment, which was so important, but nevertheless, it was about two for us and one for them. They didn't get the Mideast, which they wanted, and they didn't get anything on Europe, which they wanted, except some words about what we would do next time. And frankly, we got them also, I should say, the biggest thing we got from them is to lay off in Vietnam. You know, not that they lay off, they didn't say it to them, but at least they didn't bother us about it. That was right after the mining. Now, we have to give them something. That's the real problem. So the purpose of all this is not really to say that you can do it, what you do, but to have in mind the fact that you've got to constantly play the freshness, ego, and so forth, and that this is all being done at a very high level, not working on the thing, etc.
Right. Give Brezhnev a chance to say that when he comes over here, he got it from the president. So
that's right. And he sort of went, worked it out. Okay.
On this, we did have this approval of $211 million of Ex-Im credits the other day, and I caught it and called Henry about it.
Yeah, he was very good.
And I did.
And I called Vorontsov and said, you had done that.
And I saw him out the night before, and I said, I understand you're going over to the Ex-Im Bank tomorrow. I said, that's right. I said, something like $210 million. I said, I think it's $211 million. I said, well, I hope that things go well with you over there. I know the president's fully aware of what's going on and it should work out. And then he reported to me later that he had a good discussion on the thing to be going.
George, I gather you want to take a somewhat negative attitude on the freight.
No, sir.
My view is to sell my salary and everything we can. Let's get those surpluses out of here and get the farmers off of subsidies.
Right. No, I agree with that. The only thing is that how people hit this market can make an impact on price.
Oh, yeah.
And they They came in and sort of cleaned us out and ran the market price. And it's to their advantage as well as the cars. That's just sort of do things that disrupt that price. Now, it's always said they don't understand how a market system works, but they were very clever about how they bought that grain last time.
They knew how it worked very well.
And you leave some for the Chinese. They want to do some grain, but it's just stupid here.
We're all out on our production. I don't know how.
I call the producer. We'll get it. We got it. The Chinese, George, Henry, one thing I want to tell you. I saw Dave Packard yesterday. Dave has got a piddly little contract that the Chinese wanted one gift. He's the first one, the research fellow.
for us to do that.
I want to overrule this. There's my overrule. Now, your monetary thing. The main point that Henry was raised here, which I'm talking not the substance, I'm talking the politics. The main point is the Germans. Now that they have Switzerland, maybe Denmark, which would bring in the other Scandinavian countries.
the idea that will solve all the problems. I said, what's that, Arthur? So get the Japanese to repeg the yen, and then get all these other currencies repegged, and then we'll defend. The world will announce that it's going to defend these currencies. Well, I think that's a formula for disaster myself. We have displayed through all the discussion of the common flood, the joint flood, the national floods, and so forth, the fact that the governments involved are very uncertain about their ability to defend any rates, whether they're right or wrong. And you just put up a target for speculation.
We may not be ready for that kind of thing. We may be maybe some later time. When we all get together, we are. For us now to patch it up quickly over a weekend is what we've been doing too often. So I agree on that point. On the other hand, George, we've got to find a way before things turn to one other thing. I don't want to be sure. I don't want anything to come out of George's trip that could in any way affect the French election.
Yes, that is important.
Very important. The Gaullists have got to win there. The socialists win. It's a disaster for
I've analyzed the figures now. The Gaullists are not in a bad position. They have a chance of getting a narrow majority all by themselves, which then together with the center would give them a good majority. They have a very good chance of getting a majority together with the center, because the way the vote fell, they got more percentage-wise, and they
have majority. I noticed Argentina sent 43% of the vote in Chile, and the papers call it a stunning victory.
Well, they've gerrymandered France in such a way that the left has to get nearly 55% of the vote to get control, and they've only got about 41.
Of course, what the French want is an intervention system, and that's what Giscard will be putting the pressure on for.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Do anything you can, though, you will not see Pompidou, not only as a political figure, but as an economic figure.
intricate technical detail to it we'll have to figure out, but we don't want Schmidt to be in a domestic position at home where he turned to the Americans, got totally kicked in the teeth, because that would shift the whole pattern within Germany, too. And if they are finally forced to go to a national float, if none of this works, we don't want them to be able to say that we drove them to it. I mean, it ought to result from our having tried something that they then decided not to go with.
There are a lot of kind of technical things that we can probably do that would be helpful, and we'll try to get up a list and do those things. I would get from this that we shouldn't agree to any effort at massive intervention.
Not yet.
And, on the other hand, if you get very strong, I would want to call you.
I would leave the impression we want to be very constructive, but that we just feel massive intervention is the wrong step, but that we ought to look down the road as to what, you know what I mean, the idea that if we want to build a new system, we build a new system.
How about
this?
This
is not the time to do it.
Sure.
pre-court.
Well, be sure I'm proceeding all right. I'm sure everybody.
Well, I talked to Henry about it so far. He's a damn valuable man. And he'd be very good over there. He'd be very good with Henry, but Henry's got to determine.
Well,
what do you want
I've to talked to him. I think he really right now would slightly prefer to go with George. And I would
like...
Would
he be useful to you over there, though? Maybe
he'd be extremely useful on the east-west trade. What I would like to do is work out with George something.
You get part of his time.
He stays here through the summer.
That we can do.
Through the summer? We can do that. Oh, we need for that.
He stays here through the summer.
He can be named, and he can be told that he is to work for you, and that that's where he's going to spend his
time. All right, you'll assign it. Done.
Okay. The other thing is this Commission on Industrial Peace.
Oh, yes.
We recommend.
Yeah. Fine.
What we would like to do, if we can work it out, is to use the Press Labor Management Committee, which gets along reasonably well, as the basic group, and then have subgroups on transportation and on mass production industries and so forth reporting into them. And if it's agreeable with you, we'll proceed on that basis, and we would get a man named David Cole, who you may remember from your steel strike days. He's an old-timer in that area. Now, the only question I would have on this, and we're exploring this, done off this meeting with Fitzsimmons. Fitz has some reservations about Jim Roach because he doesn't think he swings much weight now that he's retired. I don't think Fitz quite appreciates it. He was formerly chief executive of General Motors.
And also chairman of the
subject to that, we're going to go ahead.
Good, we'll do that. Let me ask you this. How about Dunlop's relationships with Meany? Is there anything he can do to keep Meany's continuing to cut us from that 5.5?
He's three weapons. Dunlop and I spent an hour and a half with Meany yesterday.
Good.
And I think he sees, first, we proceeded in good faith. And
we didn't put in the fight.
To a certain extent, we managed to convert the conversation into one of it's our common enemy, the press, that's done this to us, and we've got to let this settle down. And I pointed out to him your statement, which he said, well, I'm with the president.
I said, within that, we're just working toward that end.
Right, and I used that with him. I said, now, George, that was no accident. The president said that. We discussed it. He knew your view, and he put that very carefully. It didn't just happen off the cuff.
And
he appreciated that. He saw that. And so I
should
I
get
a
little
bit
of
time
to be helpful, you think, or not? While you're gone.
If he needs it, you ought to certainly see him.
You tell him.
I will tell him that.
You tell him that.
I think perhaps right after I get back.